Good afternoon. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we've been in this for a little while. John chapter 10, our reading today from verse 11 through to 21. John chapter 10, 11, 21, and of course the subject, the main subject of this whole chapter being Jesus' words, the fourth great I Am passage, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, we pick up the reading at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of the one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we bless you for your word which is before us. And we pray as we meditate on these words, the blessed words of our Savior, that he is the good shepherd. May this be an incentive to us, a means of great encouragement also to us, that Jesus Christ is our good shepherd and an incentive to us to hear his voice and to obey him and to follow him. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Christ is the door for his sheep, both for the entrance into the kingdom of God, exclusively through him who is the way and the truth and the life. And Christ is the door for his sheep, both for their coming and going, for their nurture, for their care, for their provision, for their correction, as well as for their chastisement. This has been the theme of our study of the first 10 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And within that theme, we observed, you may recall, two Lord's Sundays ago, that the true and false shepherd and the characteristics of the true and false shepherds in that two-week study before that. Well, today we come to verses 11 to 21. Now, of course, when we started John chapter 10, it was our communion meditation. We cheated and we jumped ahead to verse 11. And you may recall that sermon if you were here, and we spent a focus of that meditation on, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And if you missed that sermon, I'm sure it's on sermon audio. You can go back and get that. The three main points were, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep of necessity. The good shepherd lays down his life willingly. And the good shepherd lays down his life effectively for his sheep. Just by way of reminder, because this verse also falls in our text for today. We've got three main points, and my object is to be brief this afternoon. Just a word of encouragement to us for our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who watches over us, and that incentive to follow him. Three main points, and the first two with three sub-points each, and the third point really just by way of conclusion, a very short point there. So we observe in the first place this afternoon, the good shepherd owns his sheep. The good shepherd owns his sheep. Verse 11 to 13, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who's a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Good shepherd owns his sheep. And we have three sub-points here. Number one, they are his by creation. Good shepherd owns them. They are his by creation. And the Genesis account makes this very clear. Every living creature owes their existence, its origin, to its creator. And the very breath of life to their creator. And in the case of man, not just the breath of life to give them breath so that their lungs can start working, but God gave to man, as Pastor Sam even reminded us this morning, an eternal soul, and in man's case, breathed life, suche soul, into the living man that God had made. Now, first study, the Gospel of John, of course, makes this very clear, further teaches us that God's creative work was performed not only by the Father, but also by the Spirit of God. And in fact, Christ was God's unique agent in creation. And we saw that the Word who was in the beginning was with God and was God. In verse 3 and 4, we know so well, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. Light shines in darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. And even when, after the fall, we were by nature alienated from God, dead in our trespasses and sin, we still owed Him as Creator our life. And then as shepherd, if we belong to Him, if we have believed on Him, if we've confessed Him, and we are His sheep, first by virtue of creation, but then by, as we'll see, by redemption and by purchase. And this is important to see. We do not have a shepherd who's a hired hand. If you work for a bank today, I'm sure this is standard procedure. If you're going to get robbed, don't do anything stupid. If he says, lay down, lay down. If he says, give the money, give the money. Don't put your life in danger. And if you work in a store and you're not the owner, and you don't keep a shotgun under the counter, when someone comes to rob your store, the owner will tell you, hey, I've got insurance. Don't endanger your life. Run, flee, hide. We have a good shepherd who's not a hireling. And he lays down his life for his sheep. We do not have a creator who abandons the work of his hands when they rebel against him and disobey him, but one who loves his sheep and pursues them when they rebel against him, disobey him, and pursues him in his great grace, those whom the Father in his sovereignty has set his love upon. The good shepherd owns his sheep by virtue of creation. Furthermore, we observe in the second place, second subpoint, we are his by redemption. We are his by redemption. Verse 11 of our text, the one we observed in our communion meditation, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And it's repeated, and so we repeat it today, because these are beautiful truths that Christ repeated three times in this passage. And so we will do the same. Look at verse 14 and 15 of our text today, not just verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We belong to Christ because He has redeemed us. He has paid the ransom to free us from certain death and judgment. Not only was that ransom necessary, that blood offering was the only way to free man from the wages of sin, which is death, eternal death, to satisfy the holy justice of God. Brothers and sisters, what does this mean? It means that we are blood bought. It means that we are blood bought. It means that we are justified in the grand court of heaven and on the judgment day. And we've heard recently that on that day, for everybody, not just for unbelievers, for everybody, every sin will be made known. We will see all things, every thought, every wicked deed, everything will be revealed. But for his sheep, it will be a day of vindication and of redemption. It's like a great big stamp is placed all over our guilt and sin, there to magnify both the justice and the mercy of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that stamp says, pardoned, paid in full. I'm sure you've had a bill that you've overlooked and it says, now overdue or long past due. But there in heaven, when all our sins are revealed, the great big red stamp on that file that has your name will say pardoned, paid in full, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So, believer, that is why we are to view ourselves as dead to sin. With all that sin, we have been redeemed. It's been paid for. And we are to view ourselves as dead to sin, belonging not to ourselves, but to our kinsman Redeemer. We belong to Christ. And it's on this basis that Paul speaks to the Corinthians and the awful sexual impurity that was going on in the church. And he says to them in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man commits outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And this, brothers and sisters, should be our greatest incentive against the sin that clings so tightly, that remaining sin, those evil thoughts. This should be a great incentive for us. We belong to Christ by redemption. He has paid that debt. And thirdly, we are his by decree of the Father. We belong to Christ by decree of the Father. What was the decree of the Father based on? The fact that he really loved this sinful world? Well, yes, but it was based on his great love for his Son and for the people that he chose in his Son. Those not of the physical Israel, but the spiritual children of Abraham. It's to them that he says, in the covenant of his Son, long before the time in Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. That decree to eternal life that we see in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. According to the counsels of God, we belong to Christ. The decree had in mind the Father's gift to the Son. Remember the high priestly prayer. What a wonderful prayer, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ pouring out his heart to God. that intimate prayer of our Savior and the pouring out before he goes to the cross, knowing that God decreed all things that are now come to pass for his Son, our Savior. Listen to what he says. Jesus prays, "I have manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. Yours they were. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. The good shepherd owns his sheep. We observe in the second point, the second main point today, something we've heard before, and it's repeated in this gospel, so we'll say it again. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Verse 14, Jesus repeats again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." How? How does Christ desire to know us? How does he desire us to know him? "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." And he repeats again, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And then he tells us of other sheep. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." Again, we have three sub-points here. First of all, just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. My sheep know me. I know my sheep. How? Just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. Do you see what's happening here in the text? Jesus, in our text, equates his knowledge of his sheep to the knowledge that the Godhead has of within itself. What a wonderful picture given here by our Savior. As his sheep are drawn into the family of God by creation and by purchase in eternity, by adoption that makes us legally children of God, those who have become Christ's sheep have become an intimate part of the Heavenly Father, just as I know me and you know me. That intimate relationship within the Godhead. And Christ says also, just as the Father knows the Son, the Father, Son, the Father. Those who are Christ's sheep become an intimate part of the Heavenly family, participators as heirs with Christ, with the begotten Son who calls us brothers and family. The love that the Father has for the Son is because of the Son's perfect obedience, shown ultimately, as Jesus repeats here, in the laying down of his life for his sheep and taking it up again willingly, though in perfect obedience to the Father at the same time. We observed this in a previous sermon. So the good shepherd knows his sheep intimately and loves them sacrificially, purchases the gift given by the Father, the church. This perfected gift by the merits of Jesus Christ is dearly loved by him. Brothers, when I read these words, I become ashamed at how weak my love is, how weak my obedience is. But Christ loved us. Christ, as the good shepherd, knows us. loves us to the extent that he laid down his life for us, intimately known by both the Father and the Son. And again, the high priestly prayer in verse 22, here's Jesus' prayer that goes on. This intimate prayer is for us. He says, that they may all be one, just as we are one. We are one with the Godhead as his sheep. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What a great responsibility is ours to know and to love our shepherd and our Father, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Brothers and sisters, these are blessed truths. These things should comfort our hearts and strengthen our faith, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you're facing in your body, no matter what is happening in your marriage and with your children and great disappointments that you face. We are, by the great love of God and that immeasurable grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, an intimate part of the family of God, that they may be one, just as we are one. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. 1 John 3 verse 1, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And I was thinking, and I was going through this of that hymn that we sing, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Just as the Father knows the Son, the Son the Father, so we are known to our Good Shepherd, with a love so deep and so wide and so high that nothing, nothing at all, the Scriptures tell us, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that is what it means to be sheep and to have Christ as our Good Shepherd. Secondly, we observe he knows them because he laid down his life for them. He knows them because he laid down his life for them. When you're about to spend a lot of money on Amazon or something that's important, piece of technology or something that's expensive and dear that you want, you research it carefully, don't you? You look at the reviews. You compare prices. You want to get the very best deal. And with some of you, this process may take months. Others just buy compulsively. But generally, we research. We know, so that by the time the product lands, you know it. You know it. So you paid for it. You researched it. You compared it. You got the... Brothers and sisters, Christ knows us because he laid down his life for us. He knows us intimately. Like a good shepherd, Christ knows all his believing people, every single one of us. And those who are sitting here who think that you are just a little insignificant person, you haven't got a significant job, you don't have any significant gift, you don't, I am just a Christ knows you intimately. He purchased you by his own blood. He brought you into his family. Our names, our families, where we live, our circumstances, and private history, that nobody else knows about you. Our experiences, our trials, our sorrows, our pains, all these things Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, is intimately acquainted with. That kind of intimacy that he compares to his relationship with the Father and their divine knowledge, one of the other. The world doesn't even recognize the believer. They count us as idiots or count our lives as foolishness and wasted. Family members can't believe you spend all your time in church. Is there nothing else in your life? They ridicule us because of our beliefs and our faith in God. But Christ, the Good Shepherd, knows us thoroughly. It's wonderful to say, brothers and sisters, he knows us thoroughly. In spite of this, he loves us. I think Pastor Rick always says, people don't like me, I don't even like myself, he says. Well, very often we don't like ourselves. Christ knows us, and he took us, and he died for us. He loves us, and he knows us intimately. He does not despise us, but like a good shepherd, Christ cares tenderly for all his believing people. He provides for all their needs in the wilderness of this world. He bears patiently with our many weaknesses and infirmities. He never casts us off when we are wayward, when we disobey him, when we are sinful and erring or sick. He guards and protects us against all of our enemies. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the great offices that Christ came to this earth for, twice repeated in our text and stated emphatically, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd has one job, to care for, to nourish, to keep his sheep. Like a good shepherd, not like a hireling who runs when there's danger. He saw the danger when he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, dead in sin, trespasses. Nothing in us that should attract him to us. Nothing in us that is lovely. Everything that perfect creation ruined, and by the fall we have guilt that we inherited, and in practice we have sin in our hearts, and yet Christ the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Christ did so once for all for his sheep when he was crucified for them. And the merit of his death is now presented to the Father before his throne eternally. That is why when we sin and when we err and when we wander off, and when we forget him and when we forget his day and his name and his honor, and his resurrection and his death, he comes after us. There before his Father's throne, his merits are ours. His robes are ours. And so when we sin, and we do sin, we confess our sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 6:10, for the death he died to sin once for all, but for the life he lives to God. The sheep are saved because the good shepherd died for them. Greater man, love is no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. That's the important thing to consider. My friends, make sure that this great fact is not set before you in vain. There's no benefit to you if you come to the end of your life knowing and remembering you heard these sermons that Jesus is the good shepherd, unless during your lifetime you heard his voice and you followed him. Those things will count for nothing. This is the mark of the true sheep of Christ, as we observed in a previous sermon. They know him, they recognize his voice, and they follow him. Unless you do this, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be separated from the sheep, even though you may think you're a sheep. But if you never came to Christ, if you never thirsted, if you never believed on him, if you never confessed your sins to him and asked him to give you new life, on that day you may say, yes, I know he's the good shepherd. You'll be on the left. You'll be on the left, and you will enter into everlasting darkness, torment without God for all eternity. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Oh, the beauty and the grace of our loving shepherd. Not only laid down his life for his sheep, but he did so willingly. We made this point previously. It's repeated here again. It's of great importance. J.C. Ryle says, we must never suppose for a moment that our Lord had no power to prevent his sufferings, and that he was delivered up to his enemies and crucified because he could not help it. Nothing could be further from the truth. Judas' betrayal of him, the hatred of the scribes and the Pharisees, the injustice of Pontius Pilate, the cruel hands of the Roman soldiers whipping, the crown of thorns, the nail, the spear, the death on the cross, all these could not have harmed a hair of the head of our Savior if he did not allow it. The Good Shepherd says, I lay down my life willingly for my sheep. Matthew 25 confirms this. Jesus says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Our Lord Jesus submitted himself to death of his own free will in accordance with the will of the Father. For those wills, the Father and the Son, are eternally aligned as one, for God is one. Christ knew that his death was the only way to make atonement for man's sin, and so he poured out his soul to death with all the desires of his heart, because he had determined to pay our debt, to settle that debt and God's justice, and to redeem us from hell. And the scripture says, for the joy set before him, he willingly entered the cross. He laid down his life in order that we, through his death, might have eternal life. I quote, let us lean back our souls on these mighty truths and be thankful. A willing Savior, a loving Savior, a Savior who came especially into the world to bring life for man, is just the Savior that we need. And so I say to you this afternoon, and if you're live streaming, if you hear his voice, repent and believe, and you will be his and he will be yours. Then you can honestly say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not enough to know these facts, that the Lord Jesus Christ was a good shepherd and that the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. You need to believe on him, on who he is and on what he did on the cross to save you from your sin. Thirdly, his sheep are from every nation under the sun. His sheep are from every nation under the sun. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Gospel, as we know, is not only to the Jews, but is clearly foretold. And we see this even as Simeon takes Christ in the temple under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people, and for glory to your people, Israel. Speaking not of the physical children of Abraham, but the greater purpose and promise, even the Old Testament, to those circumcised in heart, the true Israel, as the New Testament reveals to us, children of the promise and children of faith. And Christ here confirms that promise of old, which in his commission to the disciples confirmed ought to be the practice in the proclamation of the gospel. Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, go ye therefore into all the world. I have sheep which are not of this fold. And brothers and sisters, when the day of the Lord arrives, Christ returns to judge the whole world, what will we see? What will we see? The book of Revelation, after the seven seals were opened, shows us exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. Sheep not only of this fold, but a great multitude from every nation. Listen to the words of Revelation 11, verse 9. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels are standing around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Well, this is a glimpse into the future, the ingathering of all believers throughout all time from every nation under the sun. And so Christ says, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Finally, the third place, by way of conclusion, very briefly, as we normally have in the scriptures when Christ has been teaching, the mixed reaction. Number three, the mixed reaction. We're not going to spend time on these terrible words that were said by our Savior. There was again a division, verse 19, among the Jews because of these words. And nothing has changed, brothers and sisters. The world today, we have the same mixed reaction whenever the gospel is preached. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And this reaction is called a stumbling, and was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. Listen to Isaiah 8, verse 14 and 15. "And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." That is fulfilled right here in our text. "Many shall stumble on it. They shall fall broken. They shall be snared and taken." And if you go back to Simeon in the temple, he utters similar words in verse 34. He says, "And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from the many hearts may be revealed.'" 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, listen to this. "For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do.'" He is a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Terrible words indeed, uttered by these men, to call the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Good Shepherd, dismiss him as insane, as one possessed by a demon. Brothers and sisters, this should be a reminder to each one of us that within each one of us, the same corrupt heart is there in our remaining sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, how we need grace daily to keep down the sin in our hearts, embedded there by our sin nature, that remaining sin. And it's not until we reach glory that we shall fully learn how deeply indebted we are to God's wonderful grace, when all our sins there will be revealed, shouted from the rooftops. And we close this afternoon, and I want to close with a question we need to ask ourselves, each one of us. And if you refuse to answer and acknowledge this truth, on that day when Christ comes again, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And here's the question. It's the one that he posed to his disciples in Matthew 16. Listen to this in verse 15 He said to them, to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You must answer that question today. Who do you say that Christ is? Who do you say that Christ is? Here Christ tells us he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. An unbeliever, you must answer that question. And if you don't answer it today, you will answer it. And you will acknowledge it one day. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths. And as we have seen your great grace, as we see your loving care as the good shepherd in our lives, oh Lord, our prayer is that you, by your Spirit in our hearts, would make us sensitive, would make us see, would make us hear, would make us understand, that we would pattern our lives after your precious word, the word of our good shepherd. Oh Lord, cause us to recognize your voice. Cause us to hear your voice clearly. There are so many voices in the world today calling us. There are many temptations that come to your children. There are many trials and difficulties that come to them. Oh Lord, through all these voices, through all these things, may we know Christ. May we recognize the voice of our Savior who laid down his life for us. And may we live in obedience as we follow you. For you lay down your life that we may have eternal life. Oh Lord, bless us this week. May we take this word with us in our hearts, that we may know that we are one, just as you and the Father are one. Bless us, Lord, we pray. And for those who have not confessed your name, by your word and by your Spirit, oh Lord, help them to see. Help them to hear, help them to understand the risen Savior who once laid down his life for his sheep. We pray these things in Christ's name.